The subject of this talk is learned systems of magic, heavily dependent on written texts, formal conjurations of spirits, and special equipment like swords, daggers, wands, pentacles, and so on. Such systems are historically a feature of Europe, the Mediterranean world, and the Middle East in particular. This talk represents an attempt to sketch out a framework of its history. It's a history based, after all, on some of the main material of the historian, textual information, which can show a continuous transmission and development across time. The lovely thing is that enough manuscripts of ceremonial magic survive from all periods since the ancient world to allow the identification of key works and kinds of work and the tracing of their passage across languages and cultures. In particular, such works were translated from Greek to Arabic and Latin, from Arabic to Latin and Greek, from Hebrew to Latin and vice versa, and from all of these into the vernacular languages of different peoples. And enough have now been edited and published, and enough research has been conducted into them in particular periods of history for an overall narrative of their development to be possible. Trouble is, no one's really done it yet. Back in 1997, the foremost current scholar of medieval magic, the American Richard Kiekhafer, could say that, quote, "One might easily be persuaded that there's a history of the uses of magic and reactions to magic, but not of magic itself. Virtually every magical technique seems timeless and perennial." And he accordingly declined himself the temptation, as he colourfully put it, to wander endlessly through the thickets of the history of magic, from the Greek magical papyri of antiquity, through Arabic and Byzantine sources, to the grimoires, that's the magical handbooks, of the early modern era. Now, what I propose to do now is to hack a path through precisely the thickets that he's described, and see if any continuous tradition can be identified. And in making this journey, it's necessary for me to reckon with two traditional contentions of a kind which cause most modern academics instinctually to express disbelief. And the first is that ancient Egypt was a land where the inhabitants were especially given to the use of magic. The second traditional contention is that learned systems of ritual magic from the medieval and modern periods have a continuous history of descent from the ancient world, in particular, and building on its reputation as an especially magical land. That continuous descent was supposed to be from Egypt. Now, anthropologists and literary scholars will immediately recognize the first of those beliefs, that Egyptians especially were fond of magic, as being an apparent classic case of a construction of the cultural and ethnic other, because it's the ancient Greeks and Romans who said the Egyptians were mad about magic. And they did so to express their essential difference from the Egyptians, and so reinforce their own sense of having a special and superior identity. As part of the Greek and Roman identity was an official abhorrence of magical practices, to accuse the inhabitants of Egypt of being over the eyebrows in them was to other the Egyptians in a vividly direct and negative way. As for the claim of a continuous descent of ideas, and indeed texts of ritual magic from Egypt through to modern Europe, this also fits into a familiar trope, the dislike of esoteric traditions to appear novel or innovative. It usually manifests in a mutually reinforcing tendency to claim a secret preservation of ancient wisdom, transmitted in secret from teacher to teacher and from text to text in unbroken succession. And this, of course, provides the strongest possible apparent legitimization of unorthodox and unofficial teachings like magic. And it was famously employed in modern times in the construction of legendary histories by the Freemasons, the Rosicrucians, the Oddfellows, the Foresters, the magicians of the Order of the Golden Dawn, and various modern pagan groups. So, in theory, I should be in a wonderful position to reject on face value those two well-worn assertions which I've stated above. However, the biggest surprise I had when I worked through the material is that, for once, both of them are totally correct. So, let's go to ancient Egypt.